We're going to be continuing our thoughts in the third chapter of the book of Galatians. A very significant verse. Not well understood, and it'll be difficult to explain, but hopefully I can share with you the significance of this verse. I want to read Galatians 3:29, where it says, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The significance of this verse has to do with the genitive of Christ. The genitive case in the Greek New Testament has to do with of or from. And being of Christ is a significant place in the family of God. Being of Christ is a significant place in the body of Christ. And if we are of Christ, then our lifestyle will reflect that position. If we are of Christ, we will have positions of honor and glory in His coming kingdom. Because if we are of Christ, then we're Abraham's seed, and this is a reference not to His earthly seed, I believe, it's a reference to His heavenly seed, because the book of Galatians is dealing with the inheritance of Isaac and not the inheritance of Ishmael. Ishmael's inheritance is here on the earth, and Isaac's inheritance is in the heavenlies, and the promise has to do with age-lasting life, or life in the millennium, ruling and reigning with Christ. So that's what we're dealing with. Now, of Christ, an example of this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, this has to do with a schism in the family of, or in the church at Corinth. So, but I'm using this as an illustration or an example of what it means to be of Christ. In verse 12 it says, "Now this I say, that every one of you," that is the church in Corinth, "saith, I am of Paul." Now that's the genitive of Paul. I'm of Paul. In other words, we have a group over here, and it's an exclusive group. We follow Paul. And you thumb your suspenders with that. That's what they were doing. But we're not talking about thumbing suspenders, because to be of Christ is not something that we thumb our suspenders about. It's something that we don't deserve, and yet God has chosen us for this place. Let's continue. One group says, "I of Apollos," another great preacher. And this is one part of that church, so to speak. And then he says, I of Cephas. And then there's that group says, "I of Christ." This is a genitive of Christ. It's the same case as we read in Genesis 3:28. If ye be of Christ, or you are of Christ's group, then you are heirs according to the promise. You will rule and reign according to all the rules and the blessings and the restrictions that go with the promise of life for the coming age. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members or parts, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." We're talking about the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there are many parts, many members. And it goes on in 1 Corinthians 12, and it talks about the eye and the ear and the hand. These are all separate parts. They have different functions. But we cannot say that the hand is exclusive from the body. It's part of the body. And so, yet there are many parts in the body of Christ. And that's the reason why I'm going to read that verse, because I want you to know that there are many parts are members in the body of Christ, yet there is one body, Christ. Chapter 12, verses 18 through 20, it goes on to say, "But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? But now are they many members, yet one body." The thought I want you to get from this is that God put us in the body like He wanted to put us there. We can't thumb ourselves, and we cannot be proud and have pride about our place in the body. It's usually the areas that are more humble that get more honor. When I say more honor, more care. You know, if you've got a corn on your toe, well, of course, the corn on your toe is in your shoe. But if it, you know, your toe is hurting, you know, you take care of it better. Anyway, that may be a poor illustration, but the point is this. Each member is there, and it's placed there by God. In Romans chapter 12, we have an example of that in verse 4. "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." In other words, each member in the body has a different function. "So we, the many," this is talking about the part of the body that is known as the many, "are one body in Christ." There is a group in the body of Christ that is known as the many. Now this word many has the definite article "the" before it. It's talking about a specific group in the body of Christ. And of course it goes on and says, "Everyone members one of another, all are part of the body of Christ." Now what are the many? Well, Matthew chapter 22 verse 14 says, "Many are called, but few called out." The many in the body of Christ, which is the definite article before it, are the many in the body that have been called unto His kingdom and glory. The word "call" implies that these that have been called have ears to hear. We also know they have eyes to see. And what do they have eyes to see and ears to hear? It has to do with the coming kingdom. Because remember when Jesus was teaching the kingdom message, He said to His disciples, "Blessed are your eyes and ears, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, but to them it is not given." So, there are many that are called, but the word "chosen" means called out. Called out. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, it talks about the church, the bride of Christ, which will one day be called out of what? The body. That member of the body will be taken out of the body of Christ. The passage in Galatians 3:29, it speaks of that body as those that are of Christ, the genitive of Christ. Verse 29 says in Ephesians 5, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church." The Lord, by the way, is the last Adam. And the reason why I put that in there has to be a first Adam. And we will look at the first Adam in the next passage of Scripture. But what does it say here? "Even as the Lord cherishes the church, for we," the church, "are members of His body. And that church will be out of His flesh and out of His bones." The word, there is the definitely Greek article or Greek preposition ek, meaning out from. So the bride will one day be called out of the body of Christ. And the word church means called out, just like the word chosen means to call out. Now let's go on. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, it says, "And the rib which the Lord had taken from man," that is, from Adam, notice that he didn't cut his head off and take the whole body. He just took a rib. Is that part of the body? Well, if I count all my ribs, I've got more than one. So there we have many parts. If you want to count the word, you know, number the word ribs. I forget how many we have, but I know we have several. Anyway, so he brought and he made a woman out of his rib, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone out of my bone, and flesh out of my flesh." Paul quoted Genesis 22:23 when he talked about the church that will be called out of the body of Christ. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of the first Adam. Christ is the last Adam, and he will have a bride, and that bride will be taken out of his body. Now, I don't know that bride will be made out of a rib. That's not the issue. The issue is that there are those that are of Christ that will be removed from the body and will reign with him in the coming kingdom. Now, again, it says, "If we be of Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise," Galatians 3:29. I remind you again that the promise has to do with life for the coming age. And it's defined in 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise, singular in number, with the definite article before it. It's a specific, particular promise. It's not the promises. When we think we're standing on the promises, that's one thing. But when we're thinking about the promise, we're thinking about life for the age. It says here, "This is the promise that he hath promised us, even age-lasting life." And that life, this is a reference to the millennial age. This is not salvation. This is a life of honor and glory in his coming kingdom. Because the word eternal should be translated age. And let me say this, if you're saved, you're not just saved for 1,000 years, right? You're saved forever. If you're in the family of God, you're never going to be taken out of that family. Now, you may get a few lickings along the way, but you will never be removed from the family. Somebody I see in here has had a few lickings. I see a few grins on the face, and I'll have to do a grin too. Anyway, now back to 1 Corinthians 15. Back in 1 Corinthians 15:23, it talks about every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. I thought I didn't have this verse in here, but I did include it. Paul and I were talking about this morning. Every man in his own order. This has to do with the harvest. It says, Christ the first fruits. In the feast of harvest, the first grains that came from the field were brought to the temple, and they were weighed before the Lord. And this was a bundle of grain. It wasn't one. In other words, we're not talking about Christ's resurrection. We're not talking about just one grain. We're talking about a handful. And the handful, it seems like to me, are those that are listed, at least a partial list, in Hebrews 11. These are men and women who live by faith. And they are of Christ. They are like Christ. They were pilgrims on the earth, just like Christ was a pilgrim here on the earth. So, in the harvest, there's the first fruits. And then it says, afterward, they that are of Christ at His coming. There's going to be a group that is going to be caught up into the heavenlies, and that is that group or that part of the body that will rule and reign with Christ in the heavenlies, the bride. Now, in Galatians 3:27, it says, "For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Those that are of Christ have put on Christ. That's the context of this. And what does it mean to have put on Christ? In other words, if you are of Christ and you have put on Christ, Romans 6:4, we've looked at this last week. It says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death," that is, His Thanatos death, "that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now this walk in newness of life is not when we get raised from the dead. This walk in newness of life starts right now. We're to walk in newness of life now. Not in the resurrection. Obviously we will be walking in newness of life with a new body and so forth. But God wants us to live a resurrected life now, a new life now. So that if we are of Christ, we are those that have been baptized into Christ or have put on Christ, and we are walking in the newness of life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, we have another reference to the genitive of Christ. "And they that are of Christ," again the genitive, "have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust." If you're part of those, that body in Christ that has been called out, your lifestyle is going to be crucifying the flesh. You're not going to be given in to fleshly lust. You're not going to be given in to fleshly affections. You're going to die to self. In other words, you're going to say, "Abba, Father." Did you know when you cry, "Abba, Father," you're crying the cry of a dead man? That is the cry of one who is dead. Dead to what? To my will. To my plans. My purposes for me. We were watching a special the other night on Air Force One. I don't know whether any of you watched that or not. But I marveled at all the protection that our president receives, how much preparation went into preparing a flight to California, let's say. And they're out on the tarmac making sure there's not a piece of nail or anything out there. They're out there looking for every little impurity or something on the runway. They've got police around there, and they've locked that place down as far as anybody coming or going. And I thought to myself, that is amazing what they do for one man. And I was thinking to myself, telling Gene, I said, "You know, we have a guardian angel that has more power than 1,000 Secret Service men. Because that one angel could call in several legions of angels. A whole lot quicker than a guy on a radio could say, 'Come help.'" You know? Those that are heirs of salvation are those that are protected by a guardian angel and as many guardian angels as we need. And I was just thinking about that, that kind of protection. And I related that to the Abba Spirit. When Jesus said, "All things are possible unto thee," that includes my protection, my safeguard. We don't have to worry about world events. We're under tight security better than the world has ever, you know, better than the United States has ever come up with. But it is impressive what they do. It really is impressive. And the sad thing about it is you've got to have an old piece of 8,000 or I don't know how many pounds that plane weighs. Yeah, 800,000 pounds. We don't need that piece of that hardware when we are ready to fly. We're gone. And you don't need a space capsule to move. Now, but anyway, let's go on. So, anyway, Christ the first fruits, and then we which are alive and are of Christ, we will be gone too. Now, let's continue in Galatians, in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and through 9. Paul says, this is a warning to the carnal Christian. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Obviously, if we crucify the flesh and the affections and the lust of our flesh, we're going to be able to what? Please God. If you haven't crucified the flesh and the lust and the affections of it, you're going to have a hard time pleasing God. According to Romans 8, it says you can't. So, it continues in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Abba Spirit. I think this is a reference to the Abba Spirit rather than the Holy Spirit. Because I'm not in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in me. But I can be in the Abba Spirit, that is, a mindset of not my will but thine be done. I know when I'm in that mindset. I know when I'm submitting to the Lord's will, and I know when I'm resisting it. I know when I'm saying, Lord, I've got to have this, and I've got to have it now. And I know when I'm saying, Lord, I'm waiting patiently. So he goes on and says here, but ye have received, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Abba Spirit, if so be that the Abba Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Abba Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The word, the pronoun his is also in the genitive case. And if you're living in the flesh, you're not of Christ. You're not of his. Now, being in the family is one thing, and being of a select group in the body of Christ is another. This has nothing to do with salvation. Being his does not mean being saved. Being his has to do with a group of people that have been called, the many that have been called unto his kingdom and glory. And now I've included in this passage of Scripture, verses 14 through 16, which is a reference to the Abba Spirit, where it says, for as many as are led by the Abba Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are being the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the Abba Spirit of adoption, or appointed, or to be appointed as a son, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Then it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I think I included verse 16 so that you can see that we can behave like a son even though we are a child. In other words, this is not contradicting itself when it says they are sons of God if we have the Abba Spirit. Because down in verse 16 says that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the Abba, or that we are the children of God. So, the Abba Spirit has to do with the being appointed in a position of a son. And it also removes the bondage of fear. Now, Galatians 4:6 tells us, because ye are being sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, the Abba, not the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And I've already mentioned the passage in Mark 14:36, where it says, all things are possible unto thee, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, there is an example of a group in the apostles. You know, we had the 12 apostles. In the 12 apostles, there was a group that were, so to speak, of Christ. And that group was Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John had privileges that the other apostles didn't have. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 2, it says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. Yet there were 12. There were 12 apostles, yet here are three men that are with him. They are apart by themselves. From whom? From the 12 apostles. And he was transfigured before them. Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. The other 9 apostles weren't. And that information was private information. Jesus said, don't you talk about this until after I'm raised from the dead. Now, Peter, James, and John were with him. In Revelation chapter 17, who is it that is with him when he comes again? Well, Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are the called, and the called out, and the faithful. Those that are with him are those that are of Christ. They are of that unique member of the body of Christ known as the church that is going to be called out of his side. Remember when Jesus Christ's side was open? It was close to the rib, and that's where the bride came out, was close to, by, out of Adam, was by the rib, or was the rib. Now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 says, thou hast a few names in Sardis, talking about the church at Sardis, that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me. As Peter, James, and John were with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration in the heavenlies, apart by themselves, there will be those that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me, for they are worthy. If your garment, if you live a life in such a way that your garments are defiled by sin, you can be excluded from that group. You need to know that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 through 12, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Deny us what? Not that we're his children. He can't deny us that we're his children, but he can deny us being with him. You will not be with him ruling and reigning. You will not be a part of the called and the faithful and the chosen who will be Lord of lords and, or who will be lords and kings. Revelation 20, verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the best resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then in John 17, verse 24, these are privileges that those that are of Christ will enjoy. Jesus said, Father, I will that they, also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. The little children will be with the Lord to behold his glory. So, if we be of Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that promise is based upon faith. For the promise that we should be heirs of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You need to be just, and you need to walk in a hope of glory. That's living by faith. Galatians 3:22 tells us, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that are faithfully believing. That's in the present tense. So, James tells us that talking to beloved brethren, hath not God called out the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love or obey him? May the Lord help us to see the value of living a lifestyle that will allow us to continue to be in that group that has been called unto his kingdom and glory. We need that in our life today. It's so easy to fall away. Paul says, I'm concerned that I might fall away. I keep my body under subjection lest I be a castaway. Father, I just pray that you would help us to see the significance of being of Christ. A part of the body that will enjoy privileges as the bride of Christ will enjoy in the coming kingdom. We pray, Father, that you would help us to make our calling and election sure, that we too might have an abundant entrance into your coming kingdom and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and to enter into the joy of the Lord. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.